You're welcome back. The United Nations says it's been given permission to send around 100 aid trucks into Gaza today. This comes after warnings from the UN's head of humanitarian affairs that thousands of babies could die over the next 48 hours if aid doesn't reach them. After an 11-week blockade, five lorries were allowed in yesterday, but they remain under Israeli control. Speaking to the BBC, Tom Fletcher said he hoped for more today. Let's listen to some more of what he's been saying.
You know, let me describe what is on those trucks. This is baby food, baby nutrition. There are 14,000 babies that will die in the next 48 hours unless we can reach them. This is not food that Hamas are going to steal. No, we run the risk of looting. We run the risk. You know, let me describe what is on those trucks. This is baby food. Baby nutrition. There are 14,000 babies that will die in the next 48 hours unless we can reach them. This is not food that Hamas are going to steal. No, we run the risk of looting. We run the risks of being hit as part of the Israeli military offensive. We run all sorts of risks trying to get that baby food through to those mothers who cannot feed their children right now because they're malnourished.
14,000 babies in 48 hours is an extraordinary figure.
It's chilling. It's utterly chilling. But this is what we do. We keep going. It will be frustrating. We will be impeded. We will run huge risks. But I don't see a better idea than getting that baby food in to those mums who at the moment cannot feed their own kids.
The UN's Tom Fletcher speaking to Anna Foster on the BBC this morning. Meanwhile, Palestinian health officials have said that at least 38 people were killed in a series of Israeli bombings. A growing list of countries, including Britain, France and Canada, have called on Israel to stop its offensive. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the attacks would end tomorrow if Hamas released all the remaining hostages and laid down its arms. Dr. Victoria Rose is a British plastic surgeon who's currently working in the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. A short time ago, she told me about her work there.
So I'm part of a team of three surgeons from a small charity in the UK called Ideals. We've got two plastic surgeons and an orthopaedic surgeon. And we were initially going to be deployed to the European Gaza Hospital where two of our other colleagues are. But on the day that we came in, it was hit. So we were rediverted here to Nasser Hospital. I've worked, myself and Graham, who I'm with, have worked here at Nasser before. And we are in the MSF operating theatre complex at the moment, and we've been working here since Thursday, just running two theatres more or less non-stop really since we got here.
What sort of injuries are you seeing?
It's all blast injuries, so they're different sorts of injuries that occur after a bombing or a blast. The bulk of them are burns, and they can be anything from sort of minor flash burns to major sort of 40-50% life-threatening burns. We're seeing quite a few of those in children. And then it's the injuries that are caused by the actual explosion itself, or bits of masonry, bits of car, whatever's hit, being whipped up in the explosion and ejected at the civilians at really high velocity. And that normally causes some sort of penetrating injury of a limb, of the head, chest, face, wherever. With the limbs, which is mainly what we're seeing, because the survival rate from it hitting you in the head, chest or abdomen is lower. But with the limbs, if it doesn't cause an immediate traumatic amputation that we then have to deal with, it'll cause some sort of devastating injury to the limb that we then try to patch up as much as we can. So massive amounts of skin loss and quite large open fractures.
Given the blockade and given the impact that has had over the past 10, 11 weeks, the children you were seeing, are they also suffering, some of them, from malnutrition?
Yeah, they're all suffering from malnutrition. I'm constantly getting their ages wrong. Children that you think would be sort of 6 or 7 turn out to be 11 or 12. So they're all underweight. And I think they've had a long period of poor nutrition. So they're all stunted in their growth compared to their Western counterparts. But what we're really seeing now is a level of malnutrition that's on a scale of what we saw in the 80s during the Ethiopian crisis. You know, there are skin and bones, these children. You can see all of their ribs. We've had a tiny little guy on the operating table this morning with quite significant burns to his left leg and torso. And I mean, he just looks totally undernourished.
I'm just wondering if that makes it more difficult for a little boy like that to fight off infection or to recover from his injuries if he's so malnourished.
It totally does. It's you really do need vital vitamins and minerals for cell function and repair. And so without those, there really is very slow wound healing. And that then allows the opportunity for infection to take hold. And what we're seeing is sort of overwhelming sepsis in wounds that would easily heal if we had, you know, enough equipment, could get them to theatre in a timely fashion, and if they had better nutrition.
Do you have the supplies that you need?
We're running out of all sorts of things all the time, and we're doing a lot of trading with other NGOs to try and keep us going. So the short answer is no. We've even resorted to trying to get a team back into the European Gaza Hospital to scavenge some of the equipment that our first team took there to keep us going. I mean, we are on the last of what we have. It's not the sort of scenario that you would see in the UK, and I'm certainly using very, very rudimentary dressings. We're basically gauze and bandages now.
Israel has ordered the evacuation of Khan Yunis. Does that include the hospital you're in?
We're about 1.5 kilometres away from that evacuation area, but it's had a huge impact on us because obviously it's quite stressful for the local Palestinians and even for the foreign doctors knowing that the active fighting is a few streets away. But more than that, quite a lot of our staff were living in that evacuation zone, so they had their tents in that area. We lost 4 of them yesterday whilst we were working who had to go back into Khan Yunis to help evacuate their families. And that has a huge impact on how the two theatres can run. So it really is dire, this sort of evacuation this close to a hospital.
I know you've worked in Gaza at different times over several years. How does what you're seeing at the moment compare to those other times?
This is the worst I've ever seen it. I've never really been quite so depressed by the situation. I'm seeing some really horrific injuries in some really young children, and it's very relentless. There is also this sort of feeling of where and how is this going to end, and is what we're doing here just futile? It's very, very uncomfortable to be here right now.
How frustrating is that?
I can't spend too long thinking about it. Otherwise, I don't think I would be able to carry on working. It's really frustrating, more so knowing that we are complicit in enabling it to carry on. But I don't think that the Western world really has any understanding of what is actually happening here. There is the needless and preventable deaths of thousands of children going on.
And why do you think that understanding isn't there?
I think really it's the block that we've had in the media getting in. It's a very unique situation to have a war zone where the media have been completely excluded. So you are relying on aid workers to give you all this information. And we all know very well that the more public we go with our stories, the less likely we are to get back into Gaza and do our jobs, which is, you know, to help the population.
And that was Dr. Victoria Rose speaking to me from the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis.